You are returning loaded in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, thank you, Lord. I want to celebrate God for the privilege that He has given unto us to be in such a time and season as this. Our fathers, you know, expected to see a day like this. And they are actually seeing it now. And they are rejoicing. Abraham is rejoicing. Isaac is rejoicing. Moses is rejoicing. Because we are in the company of angels and the company of the just men made perfect. Excited about what God is doing in our days. And today we have the privilege of hosting one of the vessels of God in our time. Wait a minute now. A man I honor and respect so much. Relax. Relax now. Hello, relax. Let me finish. Amen. Apostle Selman does not have a clue. He does not even understand this. The impact of his ministry globally. You know, only in heaven we will know the impact of the little things we do. We think it's little, but it is volcano. Generating some form of hurricane, whatever you can call it. We celebrate God for the wonders of God in his life, the depth of praise that God has given him, depth of heart for God, love for God, depth of revelation of God's word, and practical, feelable, tangible relationship that God has helped him to develop over the years, that is undeniably impacting many around the globe. Personally, you have been a massive blessing to me. Since the day I took notes, I have been listening. I always listen. You know, always. And it's such a blessing to my life because it's always, anytime I tune in to any of the YouTube messages, there is always a striking of a note, a major note. This man is striking one note in me. We are of the same family. We are of the same kindred. There is something that connects. And I celebrate God. Your coming here, I know, is a big sacrifice. Big sacrifice. Big sacrifice because of the sensitivity of the time. And you told me that. But you decided and God allow you and permit you to come out and be part of this. We celebrate you. We know that God has brought you here to be a blessing. And I can tell you that a lot of expectation. People are expecting, you know, a lot of blessings from God today. And I know that God will go through you to enforce his will in the life of everyone here. Now, please, people of God, join me to welcome the man of God. Apostle Joshua Selman.
Praise you, oh God, Seek for the various ways to access. access the power of God to access relevance within the context of a generation. And here and there we have invented all kinds of formulas and methodologies attempting to touch the heart of God, attempting to touch the grace of God, to the end that we may sustain the ability to be relevant within the context of a generation. But you see, one of the things that we need to understand is that in the dealings of God with men, creativity is not required. You are not at liberty to invent the pathway that makes for your relationship with God. It is only when it has to do with your dominion upon and around the cosmos, then you will draw from the wealth of creativity. When it has to do with God, there is always a pattern. Please understand. The first mistake that I think many people make is they attempt to invent a way to know God, to host His power, to receive of the possibilities of the kingdom. We invent it from our pride. We invent it from ego. We invent it from all kinds of platforms. And then we expect God to come and fit to that mold. But in the dealings of God with men, you are shown a pattern. Jeremiah says in chapter 6 and verse 16, he says to stand. Please give it to us if it's possible. He says, stand ye in the ways and see, and then ask for the old path, wherein is a good way. That means not every way is a good way. It says, when you find it, walk therein. And that if you walk in this path, the proof is that you will enter a Sabbath. There is a rest when you learn to walk in His ways. Hallelujah. It was Prophet Micah that began to speak about the end time church. And he said that it will come to pass in the last days. Micah was teaching us that the mountain of the Lord's house, are we together now, shall be exalted above other mountains and other hills, and men will flow to it. They will flow to it, and this will be their conviction. They will say to one another, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are we together now? To the mountain of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways. This is why we seek His audience, to know, to come into a comprehension of the ways of God. Are we still together? So it is important for us to understand that there is a pattern. In the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Bible records that God continued to come to supervise what they were doing. Remember, they were building a tabernacle in the similitude of that which was in heaven. And the goal was to be able to host His presence. Are we together now? And the Spirit of God had to come upon a man called Bezalel. He was not a businessman. It was God's insistence to see that His patterns be kept. And so he had to be empowered by the Spirit of God. And God supervised the dimensions of the building. Everything had to be done according to pattern. His presence never came until the last peg was hit. And then the Bible says, then His Shekinah. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, Your awesome presence fills this room. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, Your awesome presence fills my life. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, Your awesome presence fills this place. His glory. The glory of God always comes to prove that His patterns have been kept. Everywhere you see the manifestation of the glory of God is an attestation that His patterns have been kept. If the patterns of God are not kept, the glory, the Shekinah of God. There are three dimensions of the presence of God. The first dimension of his presence is called his omnipresence. His ability to be everywhere at the same time. It was the psalmist that said, where can I hide from your presence? If I go to Hades, the place of the dead, you are there. So there is the omnipresence of God. The second dimension of his presence is what I will call his Emmanuel dimension. God with us. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. The third dimension of his presence is what we call his Shekinah. His presence. He does not just come. He comes and ensures that the people are aware he is there. Are we together now? That one, you don't just get it by default. It is a reward for insisting that his patterns be kept. So I can know to what degree you are in keeping with his patterns by seeing the dimension and the effulgence of glory that is upon your ministry, upon your life. This has nothing to do with sentiments, and it has nothing to do with fivefold ministry. It has everything to do with the insistence. The glory of God has a size that will not change. Until your alignment creates that shift, the glory cannot rest on you. Your assignment is through the sacrifice of death and alignment that you assume a mold and a posture that will make God feel at home, whether he's in you or on his throne. There is no difference. He says, now arise, O God, and come, not to the temple, to your resting place. It's a place intended for you to remain. Are we together? So we have different opinions about different dimensions of the kingdom that we seek. I want to see the power and the glory of God come and rest upon my life. What is the formula? Some say pray. Others say fast. Others say have vigils. Others say go for an impartation. Others say take communion. Others say get a bottle of oil. And all of these fabrications that come. And sometimes, you see, let me tell you, it is dangerous to have failure for a long time, because it will lead you to create a theology around your limitation, and you will mentor others from the standpoint of your frustration, to mean that just because my Christian experience could not capture this dimension, it is impossible for God to flow on that wise. It is why conferences like this are so designed to expand our spiritual horizon, to bring us to a point where we access possibilities that are beyond our current experiences. And we must be humble. That's why the Bible says we receive with meekness. We receive with meekness, not with intelligence, with meekness. The fortitude to understand that there is more. There is more. There is more. More than my experience. There is more. John was already in heaven, and yet he was told to come up hither. In heaven, come up hither, and I will show you. You have seen the things that be, but you have not seen the things that will happen. From that pedestal, you cannot see it. So come up hither. Are we together? There is a pattern that is responsible for the effulgence of the power of God upon a man. There is a pattern that is responsible for church growth. There is a pattern that is responsible for wealth and prosperity. There is a pattern that is responsible for becoming the face of God to a generation. There is a pattern. And we must become like spiritual archaeologists with our hearts open to seek and search for the patterns. Jeremiah told us that these patterns are there. Some of them are dusty. They have been ignored by the pride of our civilization. Some of them have been ignored by the puffing up of the vain knowledge that comes with our dispensation. But let God be true, and every man and every age be a liar. The patterns of God are unbending. They will never change. Are we blessed? It was the psalmist that said, oh God, you are my God. He says, early will I seek you. That means in the dealings of God with men, timing is important. All times do not produce the same results. No, sir. The boy Samuel began to seek God early. By the time he would become an adult, none of his word would fall to the ground. It matters the timing of your spiritual pursuit, because it takes time to know God. The jealousy of God does not allow him to be revealed carelessly. He will vet your hunger, and until it supersedes everything within time, he will not come. Away with that mentality that we have. Just because God loves us does not mean his presence is cheap. Anything of valuable carries a price. Are we still together? Yes, Jesus. There are patterns. The restoration to the patterns of God will be the secret to the power and the grace of the church. Otherwise, we will continue to write books. We will propose dimensions that we know are possible in God as revealed from Bible history, but our experiences will fail to capture them. And a time will come when a generation will be tired of our stories. These things I write unto you, O excellent Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Not teach alone. We must document persuasions that are provable. God can do this. Yes, we know. God can lift. Yes, we know. We turn them into songs. We turn them into poems. We turn them into sermons. And they are coming from well-meaning hearts. But we must come into a point of accuracy, quintessence, and understanding. The patterns of God are a proof of his justice. It brings predictability to our work. Are we blessed? Luke chapter 1, please. You won't believe I've not even started teaching. But Luke chapter 1. I don't know how we got there, but wherever we can stop. Luke chapter 1. We'll start from verse 1. Please look at this. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were what? Eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. It seemed good to me also. Dr. Luke now is writing to Theophilus, part of his mentorship platform. He's telling us the object, the goal, the motivation behind his writing the synoptic, the book of Luke. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had what? Perfect understanding of all things. A man can come to that realm. Perfect understanding of all things. From the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Why? Verse 4. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Please keep that scripture. Keep it, verse 4. That you may know the certainty. So that you will come to a point of comprehension that you have not been taught and are not being taught cunningly devised fables. As spiritual and as high as these truths are, there are realities in the spirit that can find expressions in this earth realm. And so Luke is writing to Theophilus that as complicated as these things sound, do not think they are just fables. These things are true. And I'm being meticulous in my description to the end that you may know the certainty of those things. So that when we say God lifts, you don't doubt. When we say God can anoint, you don't doubt. When we say God can pick a man from a dunghill, you don't just think you are echoing a prophet's writings. That these things are certain. The apostle says it this way, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. It's not only that I have believed, I've been persuaded. It's an indoctrination. It has become part of my conviction. It will not change. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? So I'd like us to look very briefly and then we'll pray. The patterns of God that have been allocated by grace and by the Spirit that can allow a man and allow men to do business with God within the context of a civilization. Please listen to me. Let me tell you this sincerely. It takes more than being available to be used by God. You come as you are, but you are never used as you are. Are we together now? Yes. And so, aside from the election of grace, there is an election that comes as proof of the depth of your alignment. There were people who were called prophetically, but there were others who insisted. They were so aligned, God could not resist them. An example of such was Elisha. There was no prophecy that Elisha was meant to be a prophet. Elisha was a farmer, but Elisha refused. Are we together? Insisted until he became a prophet. So there is the calling according to God's predeterminate counsel, but there is the calling that makes as a result of your refusal. That, Lord, if you are passing this way, I will align so much you cannot ignore me. And God says, look, I must create space for you in my program, because it is not normal for men to be this yielded. And since you have gone this far to bend over backwards, I must find a space for you. He says, let his bishopric, let another take. There are vacant spaces in the dealings of God. There are people who have been mandated to carry certain mantles and certain graces. But because one of the things that God gave men fundamentally, not Christians, men, is the power to choose. I can reject the call of God. He says, as many as received him, anything received can be rejected. Are we still together? So in the economy of God, the relay as designed for a generation. You pass this button here. You have a worshiper here. You have an apostle here, a pastor, an evangelist. It's a formation. But an individual can refuse and say, as an act of my will, I choose to sabotage your program. And his mercy will continue. And while the mercy of God continues to last, his eyes will keep searching for vessels who were not in that program but have refused and said, God, you cannot ignore me. You can't ignore my morning sacrifices. You cannot ignore my worship. You cannot ignore my tears. You cannot. I know that I come from a family that should not be part of your program. But let my alignment be an altar that calls you to be part of your program. You can call the attention of God through sacrifice. Not just a seed. You. Are we together? What does it take to be used by God? Does it take your worship? Does it take your preaching? Does it take your education? What does it take to really be used by God? Does it take just saying, Lord, I surrender? What is the key? Please pay attention to what I teach you, because for many, this conference will become a defining moment to your spiritual work. Truly, it will. Number one, I have searched, and let me say this, and I submit to you while I say this, I do not mean in any way to communicate anything that shows pride. And if at any point you perceive anything called pride, I'm sorry in advance. But I'm just saying it. Sometimes it's difficult to articulate spiritual things without being misunderstood. You know, sometimes it's difficult because people think that it's pride. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 3. Before he began his exegesis, he said, look, I need to put some things clear. When we start from verse 3, Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 3, I think I should borrow the words of the apostle. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Everybody say the mystery. It's an exact mystery. A mystery is a body of knowledge allocated for the victory of the saints. An exact body of knowledge. Not any body of knowledge. Are we together now? Yes, please keep the scripture there. But it was Apostle Peter that began to teach us that we are a chosen generation. Don't just keep this scripture. I'm just digressing for a reason. He called us a royal priesthood. Is that true? He says we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. And he tells us why all these things are possible. He says we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Everybody say marvelous light. It is the presence of the marvelous light that becomes our advantage in the kingdom. Marvelous light. An exact body of spiritual truth that brings forth superior victory in the kingdom. There were many lights, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. It says, but God made two great lights. So the lights are not the same. Even among the stars, the Bible says, one differeth from another in glory. So the dimension of glory that is released in and through your life is not just dependent on the love of God, but the depth and the quality of spiritual illumination that you sustain. Are we together? So Paul is speaking here that by revelation it was known to him. There are things that cannot be studied. There are things that cannot be researched. You are initiated into that body of knowledge. It's like occult. I'm sorry to use that word, but it is true. There are certain dimensions of spiritual understanding that you will never find in the mystery of Christ. Into a point where you must understand what is being communicated. This is not oratory. That's what the Bible calls utterance. It's not the fluency of speech. It's a spiritual quality that coordinates spiritual understanding in a way and manner that it must be understood, regardless of your lapse in understanding. You are under the influence of a grace that insists that you must understand. Hallelujah. I've shared about my encounters with Jesus. I've shared about my encounters with several generals and carriers of the fire of revival. Some of them you've read about them. Many of them have long gone to be with the Lord. And I do not claim to know all things. That would be pride and that would be a lie. But there is one thing I can tell you. I understand the protocol of the secret place. It's an office. And I want to share with you a few things that I believe will be able to help believers to find God and prove to a generation you found Him. Are we together? So while you're seated, can you hold hands with someone and just begin to pray in the Spirit just in a few minutes? Is someone praying? All the overflows, make sure you are praying. Open my eyes, O God. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower so that I will see what you will say unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number one, the first key that qualifies a man to be mightily used by God, to become a conduit of his possibilities within the context of a generation, the first key is not prayer. The first key is not fasting. The first key is not giving. The first key is death. The price for all of God is all of you. The price for all of God is not all of your seed. It's not all of your certificate. It's not all of your singing. Death. It was Jesus that was speaking and said, the hour has come that the Son may be glorified. And then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except, this is the condition, a corn of wheat falls to the ground. If it falls to the ground and remains there, it's still not dead. Just because you are touching the ground does not mean you have died. And dies. He says it abides alone. Death. Death. Complete surrender that leads to death. Complete surrender. It's a realm in the spirit called Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's a mystery. I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I am sponsored by another agency. Please look at me. This is a very powerful revelation. Being used by God is more than just being, is more than surrender. Surrender is important, but it does not stop at surrender. You must die. Is a condition that not even Jesus escaped. The price for life is death. The price for the throne is the cross. It's non-negotiable. There are no sentiments attached to it. Now, this is the kind of message that sometimes our generation does not like to listen. And sometimes it is because, you know, in an attempt to bring balance to our theological understanding and our exegesis of scripture, sometimes we move in the flesh and we begin to just push everything left, right, and center. Listen, when people talk, look at their results first. It is important for you to know this. The price, the first key, is death. When Solomon was about to dedicate the temple, listen, the Bible says that there was a sacrifice already upon the altar. Are we together? And then Solomon began to make a covenant. And he said, oh God, arise, come to your resting place. That if anyone turned to the temple in need for help, let the covenant speak. And then the Bible says, the fire came, the Shekinah of God came upon that temple. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech thee, brethren, this is Paul mentoring the church in Rome, part of his apostolic ministry. I beseech thee, brethren, he says, by the mercies of God, that ye offer not your spirit, not your mind, your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He calls it your reasonable act of worship. Not just your act of worship. That means your act of worship that can touch God. Your body. There are certain things about death that we must understand. Number one, a dead man does not respond. A dead man has no ego to protect. For as long as you are alive in yourself, something about your flesh will interrupt the program of God. It has nothing to do with being good or being bad. It has everything to do with being human. That the reality of our humanity has a way of interrupting God's program. No man can endure pain indefinitely. No man can endure embarrassment indefinitely. No man can endure discomfort indefinitely. So the moment you are alive, one day you will react. And you may react just when the program of God is about entering a new season. So God will not take chances. You die as the journey starts. Death. The grave is a mysterious place. We fear it. But there is a dimension of the grave that we need. Because it is where death ends and where resurrection starts. They all happen in the grave. There are many times that God allows, let me tell you one of God's technology for bringing death to you. He will allow what you fear to come upon you. Now I know you don't like what I'm saying. It does not destroy you. Isaiah 43 from verse 1 and 2 says, fear not, I have redeemed you. It says, I have called you by name. You are mine. And then verse 2 says, when thou passest through waters, I will be with you. Not I will take you out of it. I will be with you. There are times that he takes you out of it, but there are times that he walks with you. Both of them are called deliverance. You need to learn. Please keep that scripture. 43 and verse 2. It says, when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through fire. It's amazing that when it has to do with fire, you don't run. You walk slowly. Because there is something the fire needs to do in your life. When you walk through fire, you don't run through it. You walk through fire. And as it burns your ego, as the prophecies of your enemies seem to come to pass, and it's as if God is not watching. God, I thought you would come through for me to shame them. And God says, there is a bigger agenda than proving a point. Stay on course. We are talking about something generational, not some mundane family crisis. We are talking about carrying mantles, not for a church, not for a city, for a generation. David is running away from Saul because Saul is looking for him, not knowing that this young boy, this runaway boy, would later not only become the king of Israel, but answer the name that will birth the Christ. But he's in a cave called Adullam. What is a king doing in a cave? Let me tell you this, hear me. Just help those under the anointing. Listen to me. I wish I can tell you everything will happen overnight. Not everything in this kingdom is a gift. There are things that are rewards. If everything is a gift, what is the reward for obedience? Not everything is a gift. No, there are rewards in this kingdom. It is why all men are not the same. Please hear me. I don't know how to make you believe this. We are equal in Christ. The same Lord is rich unto all. But by reason of God's predeterminate counsel, alongside our various depths of sacrifices, we have been separated into spiritual cadres. Not all things are possible for everybody. There are people whose life has become an altar and a covenant. The covenant has implications. Elijah loved heaven. There are 7,000 other prophets. Don't you think they were praying, God, don't mind that prophet, open the heavens. And God says, I'm doing business with this man at another level. Your sacrifice can make God brand his dealings with you. Give it a name. Many people walked with God in the Bible, but not all were called the God of this. There were people who walked with God. He named himself after his experience with them. Time will fail me, the Bible says, to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, shut the mouths of lions. Death. Death to your ego. That you get to a point where you say, Lord, right now, I'm not living for myself again. Anybody can think what he thinks about me. It is no longer about the preaching. Listen, the secret to being in ministry is to forget about ministry and focus on his presence. When you die enough to love him more than ego. Love him more than money. This adventure of using God to be successful, this adventure of using God to get anointing, just because you think it's anointing, God is not that foolish. Until all of you desires all of him, you will not find him. Let me show you the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. Please do not forget this for as long as you live. I call it the law of encounter. And ye shall seek me and only find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Everybody say, all your heart. That means if you seek God and you don't find him, the diagnosis is that something about you has been lying to you. It's not all of you that is looking for him. And you don't have to be bad for this to happen. Remember, we are not talking about good and bad. We are talking about the humanity of man. I know you came from a background where no one succeeded, and so the pressure is on you to make it. I know you are human, but unfortunately, God does not work that way. A woman wants a child to prove to her stepwife, Penina, that she's not barren. And God says, if that is why you want a child, you will not hear from me. In spite of Hannah's mocking, Penina's mocking Hannah, you thought God would say, okay, let's prove a point. There are times that the agenda is bigger than proving a point. And if the goal, your object of receiving spiritual thing is so they will know, God says, that's too small. You must give me a reason that is generational. Is God blessing us this afternoon? The heart of man, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. God himself, vetting the heart of men, told us something that we must never forget. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Do you know how many deceitful things we have in this life? And yet the Bible says the heart is more deceitful than them. That means even the owner of the heart can be deceived by the heart he's carrying. The heart is so deceitful, it can deceive you, the owner of the heart. It says, who can know it? This is the reason why we need to die. This is how God operates. Verse 10, I the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That means, while I kneel down and say, oh God, visit me, increase my church, and while I'm rolling on the ground, he's not just seeing my rolling, he goes to my... Remember, his word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent. He's seeing that in spite of my rolling on the ground, the truth is that I saw a ministerial colleague that we started ministry with, and I saw the expansion in his church, and sincerely, in the name of honesty, my humanity just came up and said, ah, Mr. Man, you've been in this city for many years. What are you doing? And that was the premise of my 40 days fast. And from day one, the fast, it will not be useless, but it will not be used for what you think it will be used for. It will rather be used to align your spirit to see what is wrong, not to give you membership. I hope you still love me. It's amazing how believers are distracted because of little things. It's proof that we are alive in ourselves. He didn't call me apostle. He didn't invite me here. I've noticed this person looks down on me. All these things are proof that you are alive. I'm not saying to dishonor people. No, not at all. But there is a way you can so die that you lose. Your eyes have been set like a flint. There are some things that do not have power within your environment again. God can give you ₦1 billion now and say, give it. And you are not binding and casting and say, Lord, if you are the one, let the wind blow to the left. All those things are proof of unbelief. It's proof that you are alive in yourself. You see, Ba, this money we are looking for that distracts us. Did you know the last treasurer Jesus had failed him? He's still searching for a replacement till today. So the dimension of wealth that people talk about that makes them... People have not even seen the wealth that is coming to the church. And I mean it truly speaking. But the person who will be God's treasurer in this generation must be the person who, whether God keeps his blessings in the storehouse or in your life, it must be the same for him. The reason why you love... Listen, please help us under the anointing. The reason why... Look at me. The reason why you trust your bank is ease of withdrawal. I hope you know. The reason why you trust your bank is because you can slot an ATM anytime. When you become that ATM to God, you will never be empty. I just failed to say that. Death. 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 Only dead vessels carry God. The size of God is too heavy for you to carry while you are alive. It will kill you. Only dead men can carry God. You want to carry the grace and the anointing that brings a generation under the submission of Christ. Please hear me. It is going to take more than posters and billboards. It is going to take more than intelligent speaking. It's going to take more than theological exegesis and your ability to communicate well. There is a track record in the spirit. There is a signature that is only signed with blood. A proof of death. It is at that point you will file your name in the realm of the spirit. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You write your name. Paul said, let no man trouble me. I didn't jump classes in the spirit. Here is my scar. I went through it. Demons will not just listen to you just because you saw it in the Bible that they shall come. You try it. The sons of Sceva tried it, did they? We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Jesus whom Paul preaches, the real Jesus. And yet the spirit did not shout and say, ah, Jesus. Even Jesus was talking to Satan. Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, 40 days fasting, he's talking with Satan and Satan is not shaking. Satan is saying, let me hold you and take you to a mountain. So what is Satan really afraid of? Jesus, the Word, the Logos of God, filled with the Spirit of God without measure, with fasting on top, is talking with Satan. The Word is now spoken, and yet Satan is not running. Find out what he really is afraid of, so that we don't make a fool of ourselves.
It all belongs to you. Oh, oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, 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 it all belongs to you.
Listen, I told God, anything I cannot give you in this life, may it never come. And I'm saying it as I'm standing here. If the Lord asked me to stop ministry now, I stand by the God of heaven. I'm speaking, I know that they are recording this. I will never carry a mic again till Jesus comes. I love him more than ministry. I love him more than titles. Don't allow men clap you out of the will of God. You must sustain the grace and the hunger. Please hear me. I'm talking. This is not preaching, no. This is not. I'm speaking from the. You know, sometimes when we see people who God has dropped his hand upon them, sometimes we need to be open like this to say this thing so you will get it. Don't let fame. Fame can be deceptive. People can clap their hands, you know. When I was coming in, thank God for your wonderful protocol people. I saw everybody running around and some of you were holding cameras. I said, ah. Oh God, that great man is still your boy. Still your boy. Still your boy. He's somebody's father, but he's still your boy. He's somebody's mentor, but he's still your boy. He's somebody's role model, but he's still your boy. He's somebody's hero, but he's still your boy. The day you graduate yourself from the school of the spirit, and pride gives you an award for completion, that day you begin to die immediately, no matter who you are. The day your knees becomes too far from the ground, that is the day your crown will fall from your head. I tell you this. This is the mystery behind the destruction of the great. This is why people start well and don't finish well. It's not sin that destroys people. It's not just fornication that destroys people. It's not just all these demonic things. No, the mercy of God is still there. It's the rebellion of rejecting the secret place. That's where people die. That's where people stay and are destroyed. They clap you out of his presence and you cannot die. Please listen to what I am telling you. Because there are people, this is why you came here today. Leave, forget man of God, woman of God. Thank God for that. But it's time, somewhere in this service, we are going to cry before God. And say, Lord, this is no longer apostle. This is your boy.
This is the place of encounter. Do to me what you want. This is the place of surrender. Do to me what you want. This is the place where my life is changed.
Do to me what you want.
So we must pray the prayer of the psalmist. He says, search my heart. Lord, search me. I'm not ashamed of what you will find. If you find lust, then I'm not ashamed. I won't say I'm a big man. If you find lust, kill it before a generation kills me for it. If you find pride, I'm not ashamed when I stand before you. I know I'm a great musician. I know I'm a great man. But I come to you. May your all-seeing eye search my heart, search my motive. Leave ministry, leave preaching, leave singing. Focus on me.
Listen.
You can be fasting as a man of God. That fasting is complete, is almost wasted. You can go to God as a colleague, trying to get one or two things, the anointing for the season, with your hand in your pocket. Let me tell you the truth. You need to understand that although we are one with Christ, our dominion is shared dominion, not absolute dominion. And there are times you need to join the 24 elders, take away your golden crown, and join them to lie down and cry, Kadosh, holy, holy.
Carry the grace for a generation. It is more than just fasting. It is more than just praying. It is death.
Where you are not ashamed of whatever God finds. People can be clapping for you. And God says, no. In the last 2 weeks, pride is growing in you. Lust is growing in you. In the last 2 weeks, bitterness. You are, no. Work on it and you get down on your knees quickly and say, Lord, I'm not ashamed. What is there to be ashamed of?
Beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye offer your bodies a living sacrifice. It was Apostle John who was teaching us in 1 John chapter 2. He started from verse 15 and he said, love not the world. Look up, please. Neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world. He's teaching us friendship with God. And he says, love not the world. He says, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That word is the word eros. It's an affinity that can distract your passion. The jealousy of God necessitates that he becomes the object of your passion. Alone and at all times.
Love not the world. The cosmos has a seduction to it. Money has a seduction to it. Fame has a seduction to it. Are we together? Every good thing has a seductive component to it. And it is only death that can immune you, especially in the generation that we live. Please hear what, don't pretend you are not hearing me. This is the voice of God. If you want to last, if you want to stand strong, you must forget about some of this paraphernalia of ministry and be true with God and be true to God and say, help me. Don't let it, forget the ignorant. The people will talk about you and say things. Don't mind them. Leave them. Do your business with God. Because when you are tried like that refiner's fire, then you will come out with a dimension of grace and glory that people will look and say, from whence cometh this? And God will say, this is what I can make out of men who die. See, let me tell you this. Please look up. There are three levels of anointings. And I think I should just digress a bit to share this. We'll find somewhere to pray. Number one, there is the anointing that comes upon you as a believer. The Bible lets us know
that there is an anointing that indwells a believer on account of his being grafted into Christ. Are we together now? Yes. Number two, there is the anointing that comes upon you on account of the office that you occupy, which represents the ministerial allocation given to you as far as God's program is concerned. He will empower you. But number three, there is the anointing that comes to you as a reward for understanding what God is doing in every season. That is the anointing that can come upon a man by reason of what you represent as far as the now speakings of God is concerned. I can be anointed as far as the office I occupy is concerned, and yet not carry the anointing for the season. This is why you find certain people in very relevant, and then certain seasons just fade them out. It's not necessarily backsliding. It's that the anointing for what God is doing now, what he is, not what he did, but what he is doing now, was not there. Death. Show me a man that has mastered the art of being open to God. No matter what you say about that man, you are wasting your time. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Do you know the strength of God rejects strength? The strength of God only looks for weakness. So when it comes and finds strength in yourself, it will go back. There is nothing for it to do in your life. Hear me. Let me speak to someone. The strength of God does not look for strength. The strength of God looks for weakness. So the quicker you acknowledge your weakness, the more you invite his strength. Lord, I don't know what my tendencies are outside of your grace and your help. And so I cry that your strength will come. And people see you rise and stand with an agency that is not human. Are we together? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. More than fasting, more than praying. Thank God for all of those other things, but they are completely vain if you don't die. No impartation will cover for death. No amount of seed will cover for death. No amount of kingdom service will cover for death. You don't die as husband and wife. No, when it has to do with the secret place, it is he, not them. It's a personal affair. You can encourage one another until you get there. And it's the dealings of God with you alone. Hallelujah. Only dead men can carry God. The Spirit of God continues to echo the burden of the Spirit. It is not as if certain graces cannot be made affordable and available in the body. But let me tell you this. The price that it takes to receive that, not many people are willing to stay. There is a rush for manifestation. There is a rush to be known. There is a rush to be recognized. And these things is something that is intrinsic in us. But God must find people who say, Lord, if it means me standing back and nobody will see me for you to be glorified, I am satisfied. And mean it genuinely. Not coming to tell lies on stage. Genuinely and truthfully. You know, let me tell you, truth has a presence. When you are a lover and a carrier of truth, when you speak, that spirit of truth backs what you are saying. Love him with all my heart.
You're my treasure, my priority. Who can compare to you? Great is the measure of your royalty. O morning star, you truly are everything.
It's not a song. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. It was Pastor Elijah that touched the body of Christ. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. That's the language of death. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Lay your hands on me, dear Lord. Breathe on me. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Take your place. Take your place. Listen. We're going to sing this song again, not as a special number. As you are saying, take your place. You know when the ark was going to be restored back. David danced. Some of you need to say, look, this relationship, give way. God needs that space now to find his place. This obsession for ministry, obsession for expansion, as important as it is, can be a lust. He said, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us. And he says to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking forward and looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the Bible says, he despised the shame. Listen, God is looking for space in your life. He is not one of the many things. For don't say God is in my heart. He's in your heart as number what? He can be in your heart as number 35. He's not satisfied. That I'm in your house does not mean I'm in your bedroom. I can be in your house and I'm at the lounge somewhere. I'm in your house but I'm not satisfied. Let me tell you this. The jealousy of God fights anything that takes his place. Even if he's the one that gave you, he will fight it until he sits on his throne. Are we together? It is when that happens that your fasting can now be an incense of worship. That your prayer can now be an incense of worship. Those who get to this realm become like Jesus in Gethsemane. Father, it is within your intelligence to work out another way to salvation. He said, but nevertheless. Nevertheless is the language of dead people. Lord, I would have wanted this, but nevertheless. It is my desire sincerely, but nevertheless. Not my will. Aha! That's the language of death. Not my will. Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Not, oh God, if you don't do it, you are not God. Who told you? You know how many times he's proven he's God? Not my will, but yours be done. I live for you. A genuine statement. Many people claim they live for God. And what they mean they live for God is that I'm serving in church. That's not living for God. Living for God is that you have died and you are back to life with his life. And that you have also become a living epistle, the logos of God in motion. You are God's intent. He can disrupt your program as he wills. And you are not too embarrassed to adjust. That's what it means to live for God. It doesn't just mean to do an occupation or to preach or to sing. No! That your life has become a living sacrifice. I have have nowhere to go, God, if you do not show me where to go. I have nothing to say until you put words in my mouth. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice.
Lay your hands on me, dear Lord. Breathe on me. Lay your hands on me, dear Lord. Breathe on me. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place.
Hallelujah. In one of the encounters that I had with the Lord told me something. He said, "Son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you." That's the condition. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men." Do you not know that the parts of your body that are most useful are not seen? The more God places value on you, He hides you. He doesn't expose you. So when God starts hiding you, it's a representation of His value. We like being exposed. But according to the engineering of the body system that Paul borrowed to explain to us how God's body works, the more He hides you, the more He is glorifying you. It's true. There are times God can say, "For 3 months, you are not going anywhere. Be indoors with me." What kind of embarrassment is this, oh God, to my ministerial exploit? Do you have the flexibility to say, "Not my will, but yours"? Because within those 3 months, like the ark of God in the house of Obed-Edom, His grace can sit upon you in another dimension, and you will rise to levels you never imagined. Hallelujah. Can we pray for 5 minutes before I continue? Now, for the next 5 minutes, listen, hold on. I'm going to leave you under God of your salvation. I don't know how you would talk to Him, but I'd like you to pray and say, "Lord, everything that has taken your place, let it find its way out of my life. I don't know how this will happen, but I cry to you, O God of heaven. Let Jesus and Him alone be glorified." Lift your voice and pray, people of God.
Hallelujah.
The nature of that life is that it was structured that until you have the Son, you cannot receive that life. Is that true? So the first encounter is the encounter with the Son of God as Savior. The reward for that encounter is that you have the life of God. Not just eternal life, the life of God. I don't mean to disturb your theology, but I hope you know everybody has eternal life. Eternal life just means life that does not end. And everybody has it. whether in heaven or in hell, your life continues. So the life, the condition for eternal life is to pass through the womb of a woman. It was misunderstood when the Bible was being canonized and translated. It's not just eternal. I hope you understand what I'm saying now. Yes. Lazarus and the rich man, both alive in different realms. When you preach, you tell people, where will you spend eternity? Not will you spend. For sure you will spend it. The question is, we're adjusting your location, not the possibility of you spending eternity. So the life God gave us is not just eternal life. We already had it. He gave us his life, the life of God. The second dimension of encounter, as revealed from scripture, is encounter with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. His office. It is the office of the Holy Spirit that helps men to meet God. John 16, theologically speaking. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Bible says that he will guide you into all truth. But there is the office of the Spirit of God. As the third person of the Godhead, you can encounter him. The disciples had Jesus, the Logos of God, for 3.5 years. Yet they needed to encounter the Holy Spirit in the capacity of his office. And even Jesus said, tarry ye. Just because you have met me is not enough. There is a personality that will be introduced to your space. He is the Paracletos, as we call it theologically speaking. One who becomes an extension of all that I was to you. Are we together now? So you meet with the Holy Spirit. He activates your organs of interaction in the realm of the spirit so that you are no longer a natural man. The fortitude for comprehending spiritual things is given to you. And then the Bible says that he guides you into all truth. Because truth in itself does not bless. It's guided. Truth is like a knife. It can be used to kill you. It is the Holy Ghost that guides you into all truth. When Satan deceives men, he does not use a lie. He uses truth. That's why Satan tempts you with what God told you. What God told you is not a lie. When God speaks, he does not lie. So Satan uses what God said and kills you with it. That's why you must be guided into all truth. The third encounter is the encounter with the Logos of God. Not the word as Savior now, but the Logos of God. A compendium of the methodologies and the systems of the kingdom. It is from this encounter that you get what we call exousia, the capacity to legislate on behalf of the kingdom. It's a product of dominion, which is the summation of your comprehension of the ways of God, the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 11, Jesus is teaching in one of his mentorship sessions, and then he says, it has been given to you to know. The word know there does not just mean be aware. It's the same word that is used as a man knowing his wife. It's an intercourse, a fellowship with the mystery. The third encounter, your comprehension of the ways of God, it produces dominion in experience. But the last encounter is what many believers do not know. Encounter with the body of Christ. Paul was teaching about the Holy Communion. Are we together? He was teaching the church in Corinth, look up please, about the mystery of the Lord's body, the bread and the cup. Are we still together? Please, if you are with me, say amen. And Paul began to teach a very strange mystery, that the Lord's body must be discerned, not just partaken of. Because at that time, historically speaking, they began to abuse the communion. People were taking the wine and they were getting tipsy, and all kinds of madness was happening in the church. And so Paul needed to straighten out some of those nonsense that were happening. And it was part of that that necessitated that conference to discuss, to the end that all things be done decently and in order. Are we together? And in one of the lectures, he began to teach them about the mystery of the Lord's body. And here's what Paul said. That the Lord's body should not only be partaken of, but that it must be discerned. And he said, there is an error that can happen to a believer when you do not encounter the Lord's body. This is what he says. For this cause, what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. Many are weak. Number two, many are sick. Number three, many sleep. Not from attacks from Satan. Not from witchcraft. The sin of not discerning the Lord's body translates to a man being weak, limited in life. Number two, a deterioration. Are we together now? And then he says, many sleep. Look up. When was the last time you saw a man limited? And he told you, I'm limited simply because I'm a Christian, but I've not encountered the body of Christ. Listen, if you meet God alone, you will not succeed. You will need to meet man, his body. Please look up. The living logos of God, the word of God, who came from heaven, walked under a closed heaven for 30 years. The heaven of Jesus, your Jesus, was closed for 30 years, in spite of the fact that he was the word of God, until he met a strange man who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. I hope you know Elijah was not a man. Elijah is a spiritual system that foreruns the move of God. It was personified in a person called Elijah. But the first manifestation of that spirit was in Noah. Every time judgment is coming and the move of God is coming, Elijah must always precede the day of the Lord. It's a spiritual protocol. So whenever revival is about to break out, Elijah, the spirit, the apostolic and prophetic spirit of prophecy that restores the patterns and the ordinances of God, must be released. Otherwise, revival cannot come. It is called Elijah. Elijah is not a man. Just like Jezebel too is not a woman. Jezebel is a spiritual system of rebellion that attaches herself to government and powers that be to manipulate things against the Christ. Everywhere you see Jezebel, she looks for government power, personified in a woman. But Jezebel is a system. Human bodies carry those systems. The bodies can die, but the systems continue. Please understand this. I want to show you a very deep mystery, and then we pray. Encounter with the body of Christ. Now look up, please. Our walk with God is based on relationship. Relationship. But kingdom advance is based on ordinances and covenants. Look up, please. You have to understand what I'm teaching you. That means my relationship with God is purely based, my walk with God is based on my relationship with Him. But kingdom advance, the frontiering of God's kingdom, is based on the mystery of ordinances and covenants. That means that God's program continues, although the bodies that act out His will can fade because of the reality of our humanity. Are we together now? That means that God allocates His programs in bodies. He stores His mantles. He stores His possibilities in men. And within their lifetime, they act out a dimension of His program. When they die, those mantles don't die. They, like a relay, they come on other bodies and begin to work. Are we together now? So you can see a young body, but what is on it is ancient. It's a continuation of a program. Please look up. That is why if you cannot discern the body, you may pass something that is ancient that sustains what it takes to bless you. Now, two women, Mary receives the news that she's with child and not by the agency of any human. And then she goes to Elizabeth, and as soon as they are talking, their children too are talking. Are they children? You went to school. Do children talk like that? It is the bodies of the children that were being formed. A body hast thou prepared. So if the body is being prepared, where am I while the body is being prepared? Are we together now? Now please understand what I'm teaching you. God stores His anointings. God stores His mantles. God stores His program in men. This is a deep mystery you must understand. He does not store it in banks. He stores it in men, number one. He stores it in institutions. A ministry can carry a corporate grace of the dealings of God. when you come under the covering of that ministry, whether you are aware of the details of that possibility or not, you can be walking in that truth before you discover. For instance, a ministry can be a storehouse of God's revelation of prosperity. If you come under it, even before you are faithful in giving, you will start being blessed. Not by anything of yourself. When you learn the principles, you will know you were not obeying it, but you were under an institution that had a covenant with God. Please listen. And then number three, God stores his graces in physical locations on earth today. Thank you, Jesus. There are locations today in the earth, as revealed from Scripture. When it was time for Elijah to go to heaven, he didn't just go anywhere. He knew where to stand exactly, physically, not in a vision. And he levitated. Horses came there. If he was somewhere else, the horses would come and not meet him. When Jesus was about to be lifted, he knew where to stand, and they saw him rising. This earth, you see, is a living